Thank you so much, Tyler, and you may be seated. And you know what? It feels like kind of the old days when we were two services and we had people show up at the first service and then more at the second service. You know what I found out last week? That there are a lot of people that weren't coming because we were meeting too early. They were used to that 11 o'clock. So we have gone to those two services to just provide a greater service to our people. And I'm really excited that you're here. And eventually we're going to get the children's ministry at the 11 o'clock. So, and then we're going to get back, we're going to get on track and we're going to see God do great things. And he already is. And Chris, it is so good to see you. Chris, give me your last name. Okay. I'm not sure if it's you, but I think it's you. Someone called me, the new people that live at Bainwood. Now, Chris used to be in United House. I haven't seen you for about almost 2 years, a year and a half, 2 years. Okay, and Bainwood was where United House met. And the people that live there, they called me and they said, we got a stimulus check for a guy named Chris. Called me on Thursday and was supposed to drop the check off yesterday, but we didn't do it. And then you walked in today. And Chris, I think it's your stimulus check. So I'm going to find out. I'll get it to you, okay? But if that's not a confirmation that you were supposed to be here today, Chris, I don't know. Do you want the stimulus check or you want to give it to Arthur? Arthur's saying, I'll take it. Okay. Man, you know, God is awesome. He's great, and he has great things in store for all of us. And, you know, those songs that we're singing, they're true. But you got to believe him, and when you believe him, it sets his spirit in motion in our lives. Our faith ignites the things that he promised us he'd do. When we put our faith in those things and walk in those things, we start to experience great things and miracles. And Chris, I don't know what brought you here today. You were probably thinking about it, but you're here, and I'll deliver that check to you. How's that, brother? All right? Sounds good? That blew me away. When I saw him walk in, I was like, that can't be him. This can't be a coincidence, okay? You know, God wants to work in our lives that way. You know the best way? I know there's all kinds of ways that you and I can describe Jesus, but I want to tell you the way that I like best. And again, he is God. He's Lord. He's King of Kings. He's so many majestic things, but he is my friend. He is my bestest friend. How's that? Okay. Give you a little junior high lingo there. He is my bestest. He is my best friend. And man, I hope that you're knowing him that way. And if you're not, don't feel bad. Just start to see him as someone that wants to be your best friend and walk through life with you, because he is there for us to go through life. And so I'm really excited. We're going to start a new series this morning called Pieces. Okay. And I'll explain to you what this is about, but it's going to be three parts. And in sermon number one, it's this morning, I want to tell you what we're trying to accomplish. So we just finished just great series. We went through the book of Philippians, and then we had our Easter services, Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Easter. And this is going to be kind of a tell you where we're going series. It's only 3 weeks, but it's going to be really important that we as a church get on board with where we're going, because we're really excited about this. So that's what I'm going to talk about. What do we mean by pieces? So let me give you a little history. At Crossroads, we have spent the past 18 and a half years, that's how old this church is, doing our best to be a Christ-centered, gospel-preaching, life-giving church. And that helps people to follow, right? Remember the words follow, pursue, and reach? Okay, to follow Christ, to pursue community, relationships with each other, and then to reach out to people that don't know Jesus. And though we as a church have done many, many things well in our history, getting people connected to each other to be shepherded and cared for is not one of those things that we've ever done very well. Now, it doesn't mean it's not happening in pockets, but as a church, by and large, we've just not been able to have, like they call them, life groups. We call them all kinds of names we've had. Someone give me some of the names of them. Sharing life groups, we called them. We called them connect groups. We've had so many things, and we've tried so many ways. It's just been difficult for us. It's very difficult for a lot of churches to do that. And it's just been hard. We just haven't been able to do it, but we keep trying. And with the help of the Holy Spirit and a gifted and unified staff, I feel that the accomplishing of this goal is getting closer to our reach. We have always had the goal of connecting people to form a puzzle or a mosaic called the body of Christ. See, and I think the word we're using the word pieces, and we're going to use puzzle as a way to communicate this. But really, the church, a spiritual word, is a mosaic. A mosaic is many different shapes, colors, and sizes, and it all comes together and fits into a beautiful, beautiful representation of a community. And a church can be a mosaic that reflects the body of Christ. And I believe this is possible, though the busyness of our world and the changing nature of our culture demands that we see this as a moving target and have a willingness to adjust when needed. But our goal is to shepherd and care for our people. That's our goal. And we have so many people that we try to do this. And oftentimes it's been a centralized effort. The people on staff have worked long and hard to try and shepherd people. But we realize that even in a smaller church like ours, it's difficult for a centralized group of people who are leaders. Some are on staff, some are volunteer staff. It's hard for us to get that done, and there needs to be a way to decentralize that so that all of us are getting each other connected. And not only do we want to see people shepherded and cared for, but we want to help people reach their friends. That's what we want to do. Like, you have friends, and you are a person that can reach them. The Christ in you, the Holy Spirit in you, can be used to bring them into a fellowship like ours. And that's the way we really like to see it done. So, but boy, our society makes this difficult. But I think shepherding and caring for our people and helping our people reach their friends is worth our greatest effort. And we're going to keep going at it until we get it. And once we've accomplished this, we're going to have to realize that we're going to have to continue to have a willingness to tweak and to change things to maintain effectiveness in doing that. So here's the goal, that every person that walks into Crossroads has the opportunity to get connected to a life-giving group of people that is meeting outside of this Sunday morning, where they can be known, know each other, have their needs met, and have a place to bring their friends to come to know Jesus Christ. That's our goal. And it's not an easy task, but I believe it's worth the effort. And this morning, we're going to begin a three-week series in which we as a church lay out we're gonna lay out for you how we think we can do this, and it's something new and creative and innovative, and but we want to see our people that want to be. Now, if you're here and you like coming on Sunday and going home and just being on Sunday, that's gonna be fine. But I think there are people that want more than that, and we want to try to figure out a way to give that to every single person that comes here that wants it. Provide community and relationships, support and care, and a place for new people to come to Crossroads by coming to something else and then coming into the church. And Christ is going to be the center of all of this. So let's go to the scriptures, and let's look at the book of Acts. Because the book of Acts is the most likely place that we're going to see how this happened in the New Testament church, and that's what we're going to do. So let's get a little background of the beginning of the church, okay, just to remind you. Okay, it started out with Jesus' birth, his life, and then his ministry. It all took place in about 33 years. He was born. He lived a perfect life. He ministered for 3 years, and he began a movement. But that movement took a twist that his followers were not expecting, because he died. He died right before the movement really kicked off. He was buried, but then he rose again. Hope came again. And then Jesus' instructions to the disciples were this. He said, wait until the promised Holy Spirit would come. And then he ascended to heaven and he left. And Jesus left the work to the ones that he had trained for those 3 years. And then just a couple of days after Jesus left, he ascended to heaven. The Holy Spirit came on what's called the Day of Pentecost. That was a Jewish holiday, high holy holiday, but that was the day that the church began, the giving of God's Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came. He was around. He always was around. But now he came to indwell the life of the believer in Jesus Christ. And he came into them, and the church that day was born. Okay, it was born, and it was being led by men and women who were filled with the Holy Spirit. When we talk about Jesus being our best friend, it's because he, by his Holy Spirit, lives inside of us, his believers. And it says, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It happened on the day of Pentecost, right? Shortly after Jesus ascended. And he said, you will be my witnesses. You're going to take a witness is actually, you're not going to like the word. The word in Greek is martyreo, where we get the word martyrs. So the idea of being his witnesses has to do with laying your life down or a willingness to. You will be my martyrs. Where? In Jerusalem, the city they were in Judea and Samaria, the outlying areas, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He had, when he said that, Jesus had in his mind Arlington, Texas, or should I say Pantego, okay? Probably none of us live in Pantego, but we go to a church that's in Pantego, which is in the middle. We have Pantego people. We have a few, okay? But Pantego is in the middle of Arlington. Isn't that amazing? But he had us in mind. He had Crossroads in mind, and we are his witnesses now. And then what happened in the book of Acts is there was an explosive increase in the number of believers. In one day, 3,000. And it continued. Then it went to 5,000, and it continued to grow. And believers were relationally connected to each other. Now, I got to tell you, one of the reasons why we have never seen the smaller group flourish the way it can. We've had some great ones. We have great ones. But we've never seen it. It has to do with me. Because I'm just not wired that way. It's not the thing that I emphasize. It's not the thing I am best at. But we have some people that are here. I know, Tyler, when you came, you began to remind me. I knew it. I just don't gravitate. But you have always reminded me. And Tyler, he carries a banner that says, get connected to relationship. Get connected. You'll never live the Christian faith out as well as you can if you're alone. Get connected. And you came and brought that to us. And now we are finally going to try. I'm not saying finally. We're going to try, and we're going to try again and again and again. But I think that perhaps we're able to do that. Thank you for carrying that banner and always reminding me of the importance of that. But they, yeah. But now listen, they were connected in that New Testament church. They were martyrs. They were witnesses, but they weren't going out just telling people. They were risking their lives by identifying with Jesus Christ. I guess what? When you're doing that, you need some relationship around you, you know? You're not just reading the Bible, coming to church, reading the Bible for 10 minutes, and then showing up in church, coming a little late, leaving a little early, and then going out there and risking your life. Now, you're risking your life when you're connected to a group of people, and it's like those embers in the fire, and you're all burning off of each other, and sparks are flying, and we're keeping each other going. And when one goes down, the others rise up, and they come alongside. It was an amazing thing that was happening in that New Testament church. They needed it. So let's pick up in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and get a glimpse as to how they connected their people together. Now, I want to just give you just a note. Acts, the book of Acts, okay, you have the Gospels, and we're in the New Testament. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the four Gospels that tell about the life of Jesus. And then the book of Acts, it actually means the Acts, the work of the Acts of the Apostles, okay? And it tells, Acts is 28 chapters, it tells how the church began and how it started. that first generation church, and it describes it to us. But since church will always be intertwined in culture and in life, what we read in Acts, it was over 2,000 years ago, is descriptive, not prescriptive. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. It's describing what happened then, but it's not saying we have to do exactly what they did because we live in a different time and a different culture, okay? They didn't have cars. They weren't able. Some of you drove 15, 10, 15, maybe more miles than that to get here. That was not a possibility in that time. Why? They didn't have cars, okay? So they went to the church, the gathering that was closest to their home. The temple was the center of where they worshiped in the early days, and then they met in homes. And churches began, and then later on, buildings and gatherings and everything else. So what we're reading, we don't have to duplicate it, but what we want to do is we want to see the principles, and we want to contextualize them for our day and in our culture. Okay? So that's what I'm going to do. And we're going to look at the scriptures, which I love to do. So let's look at verse 42. This is shortly after the church added 3,000 members in one day in Jerusalem. Verse 42, it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." So we're starting to see what was happening. This is a description of the way people gathered in the New Testament church. So there was the apostles' teaching, which became the word of God. The Bible wasn't written when this was happening. It was in the process of being written, but the apostles' teaching would be the equivalent of the word of God. So there was good, solid, biblical teaching in these gatherings. It says, and the fellowship. Okay, so the word for fellowship in the Greek, I'm not trying to get intellectual on you, I just happen to know these words. It's the word koinonia. Koinonia, okay? Now, we can use that, it has to do with social, with friendships, with fellowship, gathering together. But koinonia is speaking of Christ-centered friendships. So in these groups that were meeting, they had good, solid teaching. There were Christ-centered friendships being formed. It says, to the breaking of bread, there was sharing of food. They were having a meal. Now again, this is not prescriptive, it's descriptive. It's telling us what they did, but I think it would be well for us to look at some of these principles and try to contextualize them, so that maybe we can take some of this. And it says, and the prayers. So there was a time of prayer. The groups prayed together. Okay? So they got together, and you'll see later, in homes. And there was good, solid teaching. There was Christ-centered friendships being formed. There was a sharing of food, of a meal. And I do believe that's when Mexican food really got popular. Back then, there was a sharing of food and there was a time of prayer. Okay. Verse 43. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So it tells us there was a sense of awe. Awe is like a good kind of fear. It's when, oh my gosh. It's a fear of seeing something greater than you taking place. So you're really in awe of it. You're just like, wow. It's kind of like this. The times that you come, I hope and pray it's every single Sunday, but I've been doing church long enough to know. There are times that you come that you sense the presence of God. That's awe. In fact, people told me last week, wow. And by the way, last week, sensing the presence of God had to do with the singing that, you see, when God's people who have the Holy Spirit living in them sing and worship to God, his presence comes down because we're crying out to him. See, the worship in our service means more than you or I could ever think. It actually paves the way for people to be able to hear the words of the scripture because the Spirit of God has come down. Why? Because we call them. Because when we worship him, it's not for us. We don't worship. How was the worship? Don't answer the question. When someone asks you, how was the worship today? Say, ask the one we were worshiping to. We can't answer how the worship was unless we're singing to each other. Okay? But when we're singing to him, he determines that. But when we sing to him, his spirit comes down. And we sense awe. Well, they were sensing that awe in their house group meetings. Kind of cool. Because the Holy Spirit was manifesting himself at these meetings. Verse 44. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. So there was a sharing of life. A sharing of life. And that's what Tyler is always, he reminds me. When I look at him, I was like, I know. I started a church that's never been able to orchestrate, to facilitate the sharing of life. I know, I'm sorry. He doesn't say any of this to me. I'm sorry. That's why you're here. Help me. Help us. I'll get out of the way, you know, because I kind of like this, okay? And I have fellowship with everyone all the time, everywhere I go, but many of you are isolated. We don't want that. Now, if you want to be isolated, we're not going to fight with you, and we're not going to make you feel bad. But I believe many of us don't want to be isolated, and we have got to facilitate a way for you to have Christ-centered relationships where you can come together, share a meal, have friendship, fellowship, and have a time of prayer, hear some good, solid teaching, and have a group of people that you share life with. Now, how's that? That's the church. That's the church, not in the Western world. By the way, I'm going, Lord willing, I'm going to Africa this summer, and I'm going to be working with Emmanuel and some of the other churches, and I'm hoping to get back to Indonesia. But I will tell you this, Indonesia is the place that I've seen this more than anywhere else because it's the most heavily populated Muslim country in the world, and the Christians stick together. And when you go, I go out in the jungle when I go to Indonesia, and I'm in these churches are families, and they just share life together. And it's kind of the center of their lives, the church, okay? And I don't want the church to be the center of your life. I want Christ to be the center of your life. And I want you to be able to be in a group, a smaller group of people. When I say smaller, it could be 15, 20, 25 people, okay, that you are sharing life with. And then, don't let me get ahead of myself, but I want to tell you, when you have a group like that, Arthur, when you have a group like that, when you and Ricky are leading a group like that, and then Chris comes into town, and Chris comes to that, now he has a family around him. And then when he comes to this, he doesn't, you know, you walked in, he's like, I hope someone's here. You know, I hope someone here that I know, right? Okay? It's hard for people to come to this the first time. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me just stick to the scripture. They shared life together, and as Christians, we are meant to walk through life with other believers. We're meant to do that. Verse 45. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. It's not prescriptive. It's descriptive. That's what was happening then. By the way, they were voluntarily taking it, but this is what they were doing then. Now, do I see that happening in the Western church in America? No, I don't. I don't see everyone take your stuff, sell. I do see a sharing and giving generously, but I don't see that happening, but it doesn't have to. The Bible's not prescribing that, it's describing. But there were, and maybe in some of these smaller groups, there would be a time where when someone had a financial need, you would rise up, but you would know the person. It wouldn't become a social service place where everyone comes to get money and then leaves, okay? You know how many people tell me they go to Crossroads when they call asking for money? What's your name? They tell me. I say, well, I'd like to meet you. And I meet him. I've never seen him before in my life, okay? So I don't think you could do that effectively in our world today, but we sure can share with each other. And you know what? I'm looking around. I know that many of you have had people do that for you that are in this church. They found that you had a need, and they've been able to meet that need. So there was that kind of thing taking place. And look at verse 46. And day by day, attending the temple together, that was the larger group, kind of like this, and breaking bread in their homes. So they had a larger meeting, and then they were in homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. Day by day, there were meetings outside. They would go to the temple perhaps once a week. That was in the beginning because it got to the point that they couldn't. Christians, Jews who had become Christians, were not able to go to the temple for very long because they were put out. But they had larger meetings, and then they would meet in the homes, and it was day by day. It was not just Sunday, one and done. It's just not. It just wasn't. Now, I'm really glad we have live stream, but that makes it even less personal, because now one and done means, and I have a friend of mine, we'll see, he said, I'm 90% sure I'm going to be there. Hadn't missed a service, but he just watches them. And why does he watch them? Well, because it's easier. Okay, but he's been watching him for a long time now, and now he's not coming. He's 99% going to be here from what he told me today, and we'll see if that works in my favor, okay? But it isolates us even more. Now listen, we're happy to do the live stream for people that can't make it, or when you can't make it, but it should not replace the gathering together, because there's something that happens when we're together. And it's not even so much in a meeting like this. It's in a medium-sized group of 15 or 18 or 20 or 25 people. And all of a sudden, now someone is speaking into our lives and we're speaking into their lives. It was day by day. There was this larger group. They were breaking bread in their homes. They were eating a meal together. But I also think it's referring to communion. To having communion together, which was usually revolved around a meal. Not we take a little piece of bread and juice because we're in the Western world. We're in a rush. We got to do everything quick. In their day, it was a love feast. They had a full meal, kind of like a potluck, and they had communion at the end of the meal. Okay? Now, are we going to do that? I mean, I don't think that could happen here. It could happen in a home if someone wanted it to. We would be happy for someone to do that. And verse 47, the last part. It says, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were switching churches. Oh, I must have the wrong version. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who felt like, hey, I'll just show up. They got good bagels again and coffee. See, the Lord was adding to their number those who were being saved. Those who were finally didn't know Jesus Christ were coming to these people, groups of people who were sharing life together. There was a larger meeting, but then there was another place to develop relationships, share life. They were seeing what was happening, and they were being saved. People were coming to know Jesus Christ in these groups, in these meetings. And you know what? I would love to see some of your friends come to know Christ. I don't mind it here. But I'd love to see it happen in a smaller group so they have a group of people around them that now they know and that know them, and then they're much more likely to become part of this. Okay? So let me just tell you a couple of I have, Tyler, I'm acknowledging my failure, but I have had a couple of times where this worked. Well, I'd say one, not a couple, one. Okay? Back when I was in youth ministry, we had a pretty large number of students. And we had a lot of, I was over the high school, junior high, and the fifth and sixth grade ministry. So we were over that. And I focused, most of my efforts were in the high school group. And we had a lot of kids. We had about 100 students. And we just weren't able to keep track of them all. I had a number of interns. And we weren't able to keep track because we were centralized. Okay. And again, it's always this way. I knew most of the kids by name, but I knew more of the kids than all the interns put together. And it's always been the way it's been in ministries I've done. I don't know why. It's something that I do that hinders the growth. I don't even realize it. And I have to figure out how to get out of the way and how to unleash this. But I did figure it out in youth ministry. We decided to divide our high school group by school. I had interns there, I had a number of interns, 10 or 12 interns, And we said, we're going to divide by school, and each intern, you're going to become the youth pastor of that school. And you're going to meet on Wednesday nights in a home in the community of the school in which you are pastor. So we had a group from Arlington High School. We had a PCA, Pantego Christian Academy, which is a private school. They're not geographically based, a little more challenging. We had Martin High School. We had Lamar High School. We had Bowie and Sam Houston. We combined them together. And we started those groups. So on Wednesday night, the youth worker, the intern, was the youth pastor. Those were his kids to shepherd and care for. And they started having these meetings. We had one in Mansfield. And all of a sudden, the group started to grow tremendously. And they got the people, the students, were bringing their friends because now they didn't have to come to a church where they maybe didn't know people, where there are kids from other schools and all that kind of stuff. You know, Arlington is... heavy gangs. I'm just kidding, okay? Couldn't do it in San Diego. You'd have gang wars and everything else. But here, they were able to come to a Martin group, and they all went to Martin. Oh, I kind of know them. And they started going. And then the Arlington High School group went from one group of 30 to two groups of 30. We had to give them another intern. And the PCA group, Pantego Christian Academy, our church, the school was in the church. They went from one group to two groups and then to three groups of about 25 to 35. And then we started having kids from Oak Ridge come to the youth group. We said, hey, do you want a group? Yeah, we'll take a group. Now they have an intern and 15 students. And what we had done is we decentralized, and all of a sudden our youth group grows from 100 to 120 to 300 high school kids. Why? This is not about how to grow. This is about how to be effective, because we provided them with a place that they can bring their friends, be known, know others, and be ministered to, and we had an intern or multiple interns focusing on one school and meeting the needs of those people. Here's why, so they don't fall through the cracks. If you knew how many people over the 18 and a half years have fallen through the cracks, you would fire me. I don't even know why. It's like we don't have a net. People come in, they like our service, but after a while, coming and sitting and going home, it's not enough. It's not enough. You have told me that with your feet, because people have left. We have had probably a couple of thousand people that have been a part of our church, and now we're about 300. So 1,700 have come and gone. Now, some people, our churches, people are transient. People move on. But I'm telling you that most of the people, when they stop coming to Crossroads, we don't even figure it out. I'm usually the one that figures it out, and it's way too late, because we don't have a way to get people connected to each other. Listen, we're not a club. We are the body of Christ, and every part of the body is meaningful and matters. And under my leadership, I apologize. I haven't done a good job with this. I've tried, and we've had a lot of other people that have tried. But it worked in that youth ministry. I saw, and that brought about multiplication. And the kids, their needs were met. I didn't know everyone's name anymore. When we went from 120 to 300, I didn't know all their names, but someone knew their name. And it was those interns. And someone has to know your name. Isn't that a song, right? What is that, that show? Remember? Cheers. Cheers, you know. It's the place that everybody knows your name. It was a bar, but it's one of the most popular shows in recent history, and it was because people want to be known, and they want to know other people. And we're not looking to open up a bar, okay? But we want to use that concept and allow people to be gathered in Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-filled gatherings where there's teaching and prayer and fellowship and friendship. We want that for you. We really want that. So let me tell you the second success story, but it's not mine. But it does belong to a Centineo, okay? When COVID hit, my son Chris, you know, married to Kelsey now, they just had their 2-year anniversary, he said, Dad, I'm finding that churches, they're all closed, and I have all these friends, young married couples, they have nowhere to go. They're lost, Dad. He said, I'm going to do something about it. I said, what do you want to do? He said, I'm just going to have them meet at my house. I said, go for it. He said, can I invite people from Crossroads? I said, yeah. There's only one church, right? And he goes to another church. But he said, I'm not doing this as a church. I'm doing this as a follower of Christ. I have friends in need. They're out there. They're alone. They're disconnected. And we need to do something about it. So he started a group. And he's a little more methodical than me. I'm all vision and rah-rah. But my son Chris is more of a planner and a plotter. And he put these things together. He started a leadership team. And they've been meeting. They meet twice a month on Saturday night. And last Saturday, I went to their event. There were 45 young people there, 45 couples. A couple of singles, but most of them are young, married couples, 45. I think the 102 pounds of crawfish probably helped in their gathering. You know what's amazing? I had done at least counseling or the marriage of half of the couples that were there. It's a community. It's people that we're connected to. They needed a place to connect. And you know what my son is? Dad, why aren't the churches doing this? That's what he said. He loves Jesus, and he likes the church. But he says sometimes what some of you successful businessmen probably say. Because those of you that are running successful businesses, you know when things aren't happening the way they should. And maybe you say like he does, why doesn't the church do this? Why don't they do it? Isn't that their job? He'll tell me, he'll remind me, isn't that what you and they are getting paid for? He'll remind me of that. I was like, hey, you're my son. Pipe down, you know. We try. It's difficult. And listen, in all fairness, people don't cooperate. They don't cooperate. We set things up and they don't come. And so, but we are not going to stop trying. So here's the plan. We have a plan to strategically gather our people using live stream and other resources in a way that helps people to get to know each other and have a way to invite their friends to experience the kind of things that were happening in Acts chapter 2, but to experience them here and in a smaller setting. Okay. That's our plan. It's going to involve relevant and effective infrastructure. Okay. So we have a $3 trillion deal, stimulus plan that we're presenting to you this morning. No, I'm kidding. I think our infrastructure will be a little simple. It's going to be led by volunteers. So it's really not going to cost us anything. You know, we may for a group, if they have children and they need a way to provide for their children, we may provide you with childcare. We're going to try and give you the resources you need, but it's going to be led by volunteers. And it's going to involve an infrastructure that allows this to easily take place. See what happened in the youth ministry? We were trying to connect people, and we tried to connect them in different ways. Like we'd let them sign up for groups, they never worked. When we did it by school, it was natural and easy, and that's when the group started to they didn't grow, they multiplied. Okay, we had 90-something kids from one high school on Wednesday night in a group from Pantego Christian Academy. And you say, well, it's a Christian school. You don't understand Christian schools. They don't go to church. They think school is their church. They're like, Sarah has taught there. They don't, but we had, because we gathered them in a way that it was easy. It was easy to do. So in other words, there was affinity. There was common things that they had. So we want to do this in a way that it can easily take place. We don't want to replace Sunday morning, but we want to supplement Sunday morning with something that is much more relational. And a place where you can, so what'll happen is as you come on Sunday morning, you're going to naturally have a group of people that you're going to want to sit with because they're the people you're being connected to. And it makes coming to church a little different. And that's what we're going to be unveiling to you in the series called Pieces, except we're not going to tell you how yet, next week. Okay? I just want to get you excited about this. The idea of Pieces, listen, this was Travis's idea. Travis is really good at coming up with ways to package things, you know. I had the idea. I said, because he planned the whole Good Friday and Easter. That was all his idea of blocked, unblocked. He's really good at that. So we might as well tap into that. I said, hey, help me with this series. What do you think? He came up with this plan. We're going to call it Pieces. The idea of Pieces is that each one of you is a puzzle piece in the body of Christ here at Crossroads, each one of you. You're part of that puzzle. Now, here's the thing. It's an expanding puzzle. So it keeps growing and growing because there are new people here this morning. I'm looking around. I see some new people and probably more at the second service because visitors are more likely to sleep in a little and come at 11:05. We want to help you find your place in the puzzle, in the mosaic called Crossroads Arlington Church. Every one of you has a place to fit. Now listen, there's more. And a role to play. We're not going to just ask you to attend something else. We're going to ask you to become a part of it. And many of you that don't think you have the ability to be involved in leadership are going to discover that you can. You easily can. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. I want you to be thinking and praying about it. The next 2 weeks are going to be very important in the life of our church, especially moving forward. Because I really believe we can get this done. We can do it. I know we can do it. And I know God wants it. Would you pray about taking your place and playing your role as we move towards this together? Would you begin to do that? That's all I want you to do this week. I want you to pray about... Now, Willie, I'm looking at you, buddy. I just saw you nod your head. Thank you, Willie. You look good in the mask. If you get a darker mask, it'll look like a beard, okay? But, Willie, you told me that you have a ministry in the place that you live, in the apartments you live at. Willie told me, we had, and this is where I can see these things happen. I have not been good at getting them into practice. But Willie said, Joe, I have a church. I have people that listen to you online. They come to our service, and I'm there, and I pray for them, and I go around. And I'm like, what is to stop Willie from gathering those people maybe once a month on a Sunday morning and watching our service together? And all of a sudden now, you are now, Willie, you who love the Lord, you are now shepherding a group of people, and we're supporting you and helping you and training you. That is possible. We have people that watch our service from other places, other states, and it's possible. And listen, we're not trying to build Crossroads. We're trying to build the kingdom of God. And live stream has given us an opportunity to do this in some creative ways. So I want you to pray about participating. See, because if you say no, we're not going to be able to do it. I can't take all the blame. When I stand up here, I like to take all the blame, okay? I disarm you, okay? So I'm already saying it's my fault. But I have to say that many of our leaders have come to me and have great leaders that have tried to do this in years past. They said, Joe, they don't want to be connected, right? They don't want to be connected. It's like, yeah, I know. Well, that's your job, and I'll go on and keep preaching, you know. You got to participate. And then it's not our fault, but then I can stand before God and get my full rewards. And as long as we've provided a way for you to, we want you to be connected. And you have to participate, and we're going to need people to lead, but a better word is facilitate. Because, Willie, you don't have to get a degree in being a pastor. You need to facilitate. You need to invite and then care for, and then you have all of the resources of this body of Christ to help you reach out to people. Yesterday, Dee and the men's ministry planned an event at, it's the coolest name of an apartment complex. What is it? 2115. But we did an event, an outreach event there, and it was amazing. It was amazing. The men were there cooking. Our children's ministry staff were there, and we made so many friendships and relationships. And you can set up a place there that goes to them, and then eventually they come to us. And all we're doing is expanding the body of Christ. So there will be a way for people to participate, facilitate, and even lead for those who aren't even in Texas. Next week, there's a young man getting baptized. He's in California. He's Coast Guard. He just got married. They're going to have a baby. He's getting baptized next week. And I see them starting a group right there in Northern California on the Coast Guard base. So next week we'll continue. Travis and I next week are going to continue to unfold this. We're going to team teach. And the week after is going to be me and Brock. Because really, Travis and Brock are the guys that are really equipped to see this happen. Travis administrating and Brock training our leaders so that they can do this. Because you know what I say? Hey, take the group, go do it. I know you can do it. God bless you, amen. That's why I'm not good at it. Because I think everyone can just do it. You can do it, you can do it. But Brock has a history of coming alongside people and showing them how. And we're very excited about this. So I'm going to close in prayer. And I hope that you're excited. I hope things are going to be different here. We certainly have the team of people that can do it. We have a congregation that I think is more than willing. And, Jim, I can't take your question now because... So, Jim, thank you for that offer. We'll have communion with the donuts. We'll get grape donuts. And then you can bite the donut and have the bread. And I know you're kidding, but maybe not. But you know what, guys? And I love you joking around. But I want to say this. If that's what brings people to church, we're not winning any wars. If donuts is what we're using to get people here, we're not winning any wars. We're just going to be a cruise ship. And I want us to be a battleship, a warship. We fight with love, but I want to win people for Christ and tear down giants in people's lives. Let's pray. Lord, help us to accomplish the mission of the church. In Jesus' name, amen.